Good morning, and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book Study. My name is Amy G., and I am a recovered compulsive overeater from Maryland. Today's date is Wednesday, August 5th, and today we are reading in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous in the chapter A Vision for You, and we are at page 152 with the paragraph that begins, Yes, there is a substitute. Today's readers are, and thank you very much for your service, Katie F., Rachel N.M., Devorah S., Beth W., and Donna M. And the reference number for yesterday's meeting, August 4th, is 7891. That's 7891. Overeaters Anonymous, OA Preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose. OA's fifth tradition states each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At a Vision for You Big Book Study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. I will now ask Beth W. to read the steps, the 12 steps. Go ahead, Beth.
Good morning, everyone, and thank you, Amy, for your service. This is Betty W., a compulsive overeater recovered from Central New York. The 12 steps. 1. We admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. 2. Came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. 3. Made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood Him. 4. Made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. 5. Admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. 6. Were entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. 7. Humbly asked Him to remove our shortcomings. 8. Made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. 9. Made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10. Continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11. Sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood Him, praying only for knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out. And 12. Having had a spiritual awakening as a result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs. Thank you.
Thank you, Betty W. I apologize, I called you Beth. But thank you, Betty. I will now ask for Donna M. to read the 12 traditions. Go ahead, Donna.
Great, thanks. Thanks, Amy, and thank you for your service. This is Donna M., compulsive overeater from Wisconsin. The 1, welfare should come first.
Donna, you're breaking up a bit.
Oh. As he may express himself in our group conscience, our leaders are but trusted servants, they do not govern. 3, the only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. 4, each group should be autonomous except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. 5, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive member. 6, is OA group a number of dwarfs, finance, or 7. Every OA group ought to be fully self-supported outside contributions. 8. Peers and professional are service centers and they employ special workers. 9. OA as such will never be organized, but we may create service boards directly responsible to those who serve. 10. Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues. Hence, the OA name ought never be drawn to public controversy. 11. Our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, television, and other public media of communication. And 12. Anonymity is a spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us. Thank you. I pass.
Thank you, Donna M. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature, then stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we are discussing, and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. If you go over, you'll hear me say the word time. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year and for readers is 6 months. There is no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does require that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute. Once you are done sharing, let us know by saying pass. Then press star 1 to mute your phone. In order to have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speakers should be muted. Today, we resume our study in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous in the chapter A Vision for You on page 152, starting with the paragraph, Yes, There is a Substitute, and I will ask Katie F. to get us started. Go ahead, Katie.
Good morning. This is Katie F., a recovered compulsive overeater in Virginia. Yes, there is a substitute, and it is vastly more than that. It is a fellowship in Alcoholics Anonymous. There you will find release from care, boredom, and worry. Your imagination will be fired. Life will mean something at last. The most satisfactory years of your existence lie ahead. Thus, we find the fellowship, and so will you. How is that to come about, you ask? Where am I to find these people? You're going to meet these new friends in your own community. Near you, alcoholics are dying helplessly like people in a sinking ship. If you live in a large place, there are hundreds, high and low, rich and poor. These are future fellows of Alcoholics Anonymous. Among them, you will make lifelong friends. You will be bound to them with new and wonderful ties, for you will escape disaster together and you will commence shoulder to shoulder your common journey. Then you will know what it means to give of yourself that others may survive and rediscover life. You will learn the full meaning of love thy neighbor as thyself. And this, is such a powerful part of the Big Book, and it's really, really hard to imagine when you are newly abstinent or you're looking for recovery, because I know that my life gotten so small that I really didn't have any friends. I didn't have any friends, and the fact is, those people who were my roommates back then when I got abstinent, yes, I am in touch with them, but the people that are in my life on a daily basis are those who have survived this hell with me, who have come through to the other side. And, you know, I have had hundreds of friends from this program and from working these steps and from staying in this lifeboat. And, I joke with a lot of different people that, you know, I've never had friends that have lasted. Most of us had drinking buddies or eating buddies, and, you know, they're not your friends anymore. I have two friends from high school, and both of them were my eating buddies. They were not they're not like me. They're not compulsive overeaters. Just, you know, they liked eating like some teenagers do or most, but they didn't have this disease the way I do. And they're the only two people, and I'm not in touch with them on a daily basis. But then there's other people that I have known for, you know, over 25 years because we have stayed in this lifeboat together, and we are going through all the phases of life. And I, you know, you can't buy that. I mean, and it's really hard to imagine that that will happen, but it does. And we're not people who would normally mix. I mean, some of the people I'm friends with, you know, you would never, I would never have picked them out of a crowd, you know, that I would think that I would be, you know, still in touch with them after all these years. You know, some people are 20 years older than me. Some are 20 years younger than me. Some are, you know, PhDs, and some are, you know, school bus drivers. I mean, it just is not that there's anything wrong with being a school bus driver, but I'm just making the analogy that it has nothing to do with education or economics, but that there is a life out there beyond the food. And I'm just so grateful that we can be in this together, and really excited to meet, you know, people that we've been hearing on these phones for the last 3 years. There's a lot of people that I've never met face to face, and looking forward to October with us.
Thank you, Katie. Who would like to share on what was
Doll
read,
Bitch from New York.
Nessa
A. Melissa C.
Linda R. Linda R.
Okay, I got Charles H. Hold on. I've got Melissa C., Linda R. There's a few other I missed there. Could
Kathy
you try
K.
Me?
R. Nessa R.
Kathy K., Nessa
Vasa O.
And Vasa O. We'll go with that group. Okay, so I've got Charles H., Melissa C., Linda R., Kathy K., Nessa R., and Vasa O. Go ahead, Charles. You are up.
Thank you. Good morning, Amy. Thank you for your service. Good morning, all visitors. My name is Charles H. Covered visionary just today. Where am I to find these people? You're going to meet these new friends in your community. Near you, alcoholics are dying helplessly like people in a sinking ship. You know, where I'm going to meet them people, I'm going to meet them in, you know, I live in New York City. I'm going to meet them in the homes of Overeaters Anonymous. People are dying like people dying in a sinking ship. You know, I took on another new sponsor yesterday, and he was like, you know, meet me at the 100-pound space of pay, 6 p.m. I said, okay. I was prison because I already know. The 2% came out. I'm not judging because I was one of those students. And speaker, you know, talk of great message, and everybody that qualified talking about their cat, and they're talking about their boyfriend, and talking about, you know, it was like a group therapy group, and you know, and I cringed through the meeting, but when my 3 minutes came up, I shared the program of action. I shared what I learned, right? Through the big book. I shared, you know, couldn't do it in 3 minutes, but I did as much as I could.
Hey, Charles, adjust your volume a little bit. I'm sort of losing you.
Okay. Hello.
All right, that's better.
All right,
thank
so
you.
You're welcome. So I shared my little 3 minutes of my experience, strength, and hope as it's laid out in the big book. And then, you know, after the meeting, I mean, I'm tired. I work 8 to 4, and then I went to the meeting 6 to 7:30, and then I talked with my sponsor. I took him to the doctor's opinion. I said, you know, yeah, see those meetings there? I need you to come to a big book meetings. I can't. I'm not ready. I'm not that recovered to. I can't. I need to stay in the truth because I was thinking going to those other meetings, and the 2% rate came up. And, I want to be part of the, you know, the 50% and above. So with that, I'm a pass. Thanks for allowing me to share.
Thank you, Charles. Melissa C., go ahead, please.
Hi, good morning. It's Melissa C., a recovered compulsive overeater in New York. You know, it's interesting because all my life, you know, I wanted to belong, to feel connected instead of different. you know, instead of feeling separate, different, left out, over and over as I worked on my steps, I kept seeing this common theme in my fourth step come up, that being left out, whether real or imagined, it was my perception, you know. And now here I am at a place where, wow, I perfectly belong, you know, I truly belong here. And there's been other times in my life where I belonged and was united through common problems. I could commiserate and complain with coworkers. You know, something could be wrong at work and we could all get together and complain, or with neighbors and with my siblings. And the problems could have drawn us together, but as soon as they may have triumphed over the problem, then there was nothing left to unite us. That was some of my relationships. I didn't really want them to get over the problem or solve the dilemma. I wouldn't have admitted that, but that's really how I felt in my heart, because then they were better than me, and I was left feeling bad by comparison and left out again. You know, but in recovery, we're united in our solution, and there's a proven and workable method to arrest this illness. And, you know, victory over it means that no one can be left behind, because, you know, that's part of our charge, that we don't recover and then run away. We recover so that we can continue to work with others. And, you know, I find it amazing that my closest relationships in my life developed through this fellowship, through my weakness. When I crawled in the doors of OA, I could barely make eye contact. I was so raw and injured, and I was met with so much love and acceptance. Women and men of all ages and walks of life, you know, I have friends that are nuns and friends that are former inmates, and people who are wealthy and people who are not, and some old and young, and these are my people. You know, it's incredible. This is where I belong. And I'm just so grateful that I got so sick, that I was desperate enough to really find a fellowship. And, and I feel that way with everybody on the line here. You know, you're my morning people. You get my day started. I'm so connected in with virtual strangers. What a gift, you know, recovery is, that I can know all of you from so far away, from my simple phone. And thank you. With that, I'll pass.
Thank you, Melissa C. Go ahead, Linda R.
Good morning. Linda R., recovered in North Carolina, and thank you so much for your service. I'm so grateful to the program and to this wonderful meeting every day. What jutted out in my mind when I was listening was love thy neighbor as thy love thyself. And when I first came into the program, I had so much resentment and fear, and, you know, I just didn't love myself. I didn't like myself. I was a mess. And I always knew that my higher power was there for me and that my higher power loved me, but I didn't really know how to love me, and my higher power through the steps loved me unconditionally and loved me back to health. And through the step work, I just want to say that, you know, when I did my steps, the first time I did fourth step, it wasn't that, you know, clear. I've done it a few times. The last one I've done was really the core work. And when I did the turnarounds, that was when I was able to really start to embrace myself, and through the steps. And then, of course, step seven, I was able to accept both sides of me and love myself even more, and then even love God more. And as I, you know, I've been enlarging spiritually, adding attributes to God that, you know, really work for me. And I'm just trying to say that I was loved back to health. And love thy neighbor. You know, I had so much resentment towards myself, I couldn't really love anybody else. And then through the 10, 11, and 12, and identifying the patterns on a daily basis, and really connecting with God with that, I was able to really do these turnarounds in another way, spiritual way, where now I have really, I'm honestly saying today, I don't have one resentment. And if it does come up, I can immediately clear it out, because now I can look at another person with empathy and compassion, and I can look at myself with empathy and compassion. So all of this process through the years which takes time, has allowed me to love myself first, love God, and then love my fellow man, because, you know, the empathy and compassion was what I lacked in my recovery. Thank you very much for allowing me to share.
Thank you, Linda R. Kathy K., go ahead, please.
Thank you, Katie, for your service. This is Kathy K., a recovered compulsive overeater in Boston. And, you know, I'm having memories of my first meeting 20 years ago. I still connect with a couple of the people that I met that very first night. I'm thinking, too, about the fellows that live in other parts of the country who, when I'm traveling, I can call and I can go to a meeting with them. It's just the bonds that we develop, even over the phone, are really invaluable and indescribable. In fact, I have trouble conveying to my family the closeness and connection I feel with some of the folks on this line, even, that I've never met face-to-face. It truly is being connected with people that I've shared a common peril with and helping each other become healthy and sane. It's, as it says here, it's really hard to explain what this is until you've experienced it. And for me, it continues to be such a source of wisdom, love, and everything else that I turn to my higher power for and I find in my relationships with other fellows. And thank you for letting me share.
Thank you, Kathy K. Nessa R., you're up.
Hi, good morning. This is Nessa R., recovered in Toronto, Canada. I make this, now that I'm recovered, the guiding principle in my life, love your fellow as yourself. I actually say this very sentence every morning before I pray, because it's really the reason now I've learned, really the reason why I was created, why I was put on this earth. You know, and the big book says it in so many places. I probably would go over my 3 minutes if I were to list them all. Page 93 talks about self-sacrifice. I'm just going to that page. It says, faith alone is insufficient. To be vital, faith must be accompanied by self-sacrifice and unselfish constructive action. You know, nowadays we talk so much about self-esteem, and, you know, self-esteem comes from doing esteemable things, and there's nothing more esteemable than helping others, not only in the rooms but everywhere. I that's what I strive for every day. You know, instead of pursuing what I think I need, you know, what I want, that's not what I was created for. I was created here to be of help. So instead of focusing on what I need, I focus on what I'm needed for in the room, at my meetings, in my family, at work, in my neighborhood, in my community, wherever I go, how can I be of service? Because, you know, that's what this is all about. We cannot love God unless we love his creatures, and we cannot serve God unless we help others. And with that, I pass. Thank you.
Thank you, Nessa R. Vasa O., your turn.
Good morning, everyone. Katie, thank you so much for your service. And I am Vasa, grateful recovering compulsive overeater calling from Massachusetts. Before coming to recovery, I didn't have many friends. I didn't know how to make friends. I felt insecure, lonely, alone. I had no social skills. I always felt less than and lived in my own little world, you know, with my own family and my food, you know. And here I come into the 12 steps program, feeling at home, away from home, feeling at home, because I could identify with people that were struggling with the same disease as I was, and they had found the solution. And that gave me so much hope. You know, I could see the peace and joy in these people, and I wanted to have what they had. And gradually, God was providing me, giving me with all the things I heard other people were getting from working the 12 steps, you know, the transformation, the allergy, the mental obsession was beginning to lift. You know, I was having that relationship with God, my higher power, which I call God. And I started loving myself. And I started loving myself because God loved me first. And then I started loving myself and then loving other people that, you know, were suffering from addictions and even my own family at home, you know. I was having much more patience and tolerance for them. And it says here, how is it that we come about? You ask, where am I to find these people? Near you, alcoholics are dying helplessly, like people in sinking ships. If you live in a large place, there are hundreds, high and low, rich and poor. These are future fellows of Alcoholics Anonymous. And to me, you know, whether it's alcohol, food, you know, I came from an alcoholic home, didn't understand the disease of alcoholism. So today I'm helpful. Whoever God will put in front of me, I try to do service for God just to help and point people, you know, and like where I have been, and I could give them suggestions and say, you know, this is what I'm doing. This is what has worked for me for the first time my whole life. And that's my service really to God. And I have so much peace and joy today. And again, I have more friends in my life today. Sometimes I get overwhelmed, you know, with phone calls or emails and, you know, and friends. And I just, you know, but God does not give me any more than what I can take in one day. So I just keep everything for today. Just I pray to God, give me the strength, give me the courage, give me the wisdom just for today to do your will for me, for you today, not for me. And I have a full life today. You know, I don't feel sorry for myself.
Time.
I don't feel loneliness. I'll just wrap it up. I don't feel lonely. Just to get on a meeting like this with all of you every morning, it's a miracle. Thank you, and I pass.
Thank you so much, Vasa. Oh, who else would like to share on what was read?
This is Bella. Can I share?
This is Betty. Larry. Who I'd like to share?
And Paula Reva P.
I've got Bella, Betty, well,
Laura Z.
And
Renata.
E somewhere.
Laura.
Reva
Laura.
P.
Okay, so I got. Okay, I want to put myself on there too. I've got Bella, Betty, Laura Z, Reva P, Larry K, Dream G. Who else?
Paula
Renata.
G.
Oh, Renata, that's who I missed. Thank you, Renata. That's Renata G, right?
Right.
All right, great. We're going to start with Betty. Go ahead, please.
Hi, this is Betty, a compulsive overeater from Central New York. So grateful to be on the meeting today. And again, Amy, thank you for your service. As this last paragraph was read, it reminded me how closed I was before I came into OA. I put all these blocks up between me and others, and most importantly, God. And because of that, I was so afraid to let you know who I was and to let me know who I was. So I pretended to be something I wasn't. But when I started doing the steps and learned to shed the secrets that I held, the secret about my eating and everything that it affected, I became vulnerable. I used to think if you knew me, you wouldn't like me. But as these four promises, I believe there are four promises as I heard this paragraph read, you're going to meet new friends in your own community. Among them, number two, you will make lifelong friends. Three, you will be bound to them with new and wonderful ties. so you will escape disaster together. And then you will know what it means to give of yourself that others may survive and rediscover life. And I really rediscovered life here. I was reparented, and today life has so much meaning for me. And I now know that the more I share with others appropriately, the more intimacy we have, and the more vulnerable I allow myself to be, that may help others to be vulnerable. And for that, I know this is all from God and the 12 steps, and for that I'm so grateful. And I've learned the 12 steps from the people in this program, so I want to say thank you for that too. And with that, I'll pass.
Thank you, Betty. Bella, you are up.
Thank you. Good morning, everybody. My name is Bella G, and I am a thankful recovered compulsive overeater. Thank you, Amy, for doing this service, and thank you very much, everybody on the line. Wow, such a wonderful, wonderful paragraph. You are going to meet these new friends in your own community. Wow. Yes, before the program, I lived in a community, but I cannot call it life. I wasn't part of the community. I was part of my ego. I was part of my own character defect. So I was really isolated. I was isolated emotionally and physically. I couldn't hear nobody. I couldn't understand nobody. I was with myself. I was angry, upset, disappointed, and I was jealous. I couldn't be part in this community. I didn't, and you know, now I know I wasn't part of myself. I wasn't connected to myself. Thank you, God, I am not there anymore. Today, I am a messenger. Today, I am a messenger only. I don't have to prove nothing. I don't want to get an approval from nobody. Today I am connected to a loving power, to an acceptance power. So today I learn to accept myself, and I can accept other people too. Today I am connected to a loving power, so I love myself, and I can love other people too. Yes, today, after I did the fourth step, and I understand what means resentment, and I understand, and I did a turnaround, yes, I am open. I am open emotionally. Yes, suddenly I can understand other people, and I find friends. Yes, and today I know I can share my experience, strength, and hope to others. Thank you for letting me share, and I pass.
Thank you, Bella. Maura Z, or is it Laura Z? I think it's Maura Z, but I wasn't sure. Or Maura Z, are you there? Press star 1 to unmute. Yeah, Maura? Okay, well, we'll come back to you, Maura. Reva P? You are up.
Good morning. This is Reva P, recovering compulsive overeater in Toronto. Ditto to so many people who have shared. And for me, this paragraph is about relationships. And before program, I didn't have relationships. For me, food was an activity that I did alone. It was my big secret that I did when I closed the door and didn't answer the phone. And I had like a double life where I was this compulsive, obsessive person, binging my brains out alone. And then I would try to have a persona when I went out there in the world. So I didn't have relationships. The only relationship I really had, when I think about it now, was me with food. And that was all about what I can get. Getting the food, what I can get out of people, what I can get out of life. It was all about me, me, me. And there was this wall between me and others that I now know was blocked by the numbing out with the substance and also loads and loads of defects. So when I see words like lifelong, bound, ties, wonderful, oh, and even the word escape, the way I escaped before was closing the door in shades and getting myself into a drugged out, numbed out oblivion with sugar and food. So to escape disaster together, that's a totally different concept. So what this speaks to me is, you know, learning through the steps, through a development of a relationship with my higher power, and I don't know what comes first, I don't know if there's an order, but something about developing a relationship with a higher power, developing a relationship with myself, it just spills out and goes into developing relationships with others in program first for me. And then, you know, now I'm the same person. I'm the same person with people in program and with people not in program. I'm the same person with people in my community. And the level of relationship, I didn't know what friendship was. Friendship was all about what I can get, not about what I was going to give. It's just a totally different world. Never in my wildest dreams did I even conceive of this type of relationship. And it is really awesome. And I love how it still says commence shoulder to shoulder, because we are just beginning. We are never finished. And I love that. With that, I pass.
Thank you, Reva P. Larry K.
Maura Z.
Maura, okay, I've got you on there. Maura, go ahead on after Larry, okay? Larry, go ahead, please.
Oh, that's fine. Let Maura go first.
Oh, okay. Maura, go ahead then.
Larry, you are a gentleman and a scholar. Thank you, sir.
Yes, he is. Yes, he is. All right, go ahead, Maura.
Good morning. This is Maura Z, recovered in Virginia. Thank you, God. I was having technical difficulties. I apologize. Among them, you will make lifelong friends. You will be bound to them with new and wonderful ties, for you will escape disaster together, and you will commence shoulder to shoulder your common journey. I have been blessed to still be in touch with two of my childhood friends, and not just in touch. We have very strong friendship bonds. And then I came into OA, and those ladies were the only friends I had for many, many, many years. And when I came into OA and was enveloped by the love and the unconditional love and the support and the teachers and the mentors, I began to learn of a new level of friendship and an amazing level of friendship. And through the friendships I've made in OA, through the 12 steps of OA, I've been able to return to those friends and continue our friendship, but at a much deeper, more honest level than ever before. So not only have I learned how to be a friend and how to have friends in OA and develop amazing relationships with women I've never met, over, you know, the last 10 years via phone meetings, I've been given the gift of strengthening my childhood friendships. And it's an amazing gift to go through life now coming from a place of having two friends who lived in different states from me, and so I had no local friends, to now having a world of friends. Honest friends. They call me on my shit. They're there to support me when I'm down, and they're there to, you know, celebrate with me in the good times. And this is something that should not be missed. Absolutely. I know I'm borrowing from a different paragraph in a different chapter, but unbelievable experiences. And with that, I will pass, and thank you for your service, Amy.
Thank you, Maura. Larry K., go ahead, please.
Thanks, Amy. Larry K., a recovering gentleman and a scholar, still working on it. thanks so much for your service, Amy. The set my timer here. You know, where it says here, you know about people dying helplessly, like those on a sinking ship. I mean, it's, you know, if you think about it, what a miracle that we're here, that we're even here. And I mean, if this isn't a divinely inspired situation, I don't know what is, you know, that we've come to this program. And yet, you know, at the same time, I mean, people are dropping like flies, you know, they're dying helplessly in any community, like those on a sinking ship. And I mean, there's more than, I think I heard recently something like 78 million U.S. adults are obese. And of course, we're not even talking about those with other eating disorders, the anorexics, the bulimics that are binge eaters as well, you know. And there's so many different conditions that, you know, we can face, heart disease, stroke, type 2 diabetes, different cancers. I mean, we've been saved, you know, for those of us that were willing to work this program. This program flat out takes people, you know, from the scrap heap, the gutter of life, to a life beyond their wildest dreams. And, you know, and now, you know, once that happens, it's our obligation. You know, we're called in step 12, and we're reading about the vision. You know, my vision today is, you know, can I carry this message to those who are still suffering and offer them a sense of hope? You know, and that's the miracle for me today, is that there is hope for people. There's, you know, there's people on the line. There, you know, maybe on a live meeting, perhaps there's, you know, 300 people on the line, spread out across the country. You know, there probably should be many times, you know, more than that. But nonetheless, you know, here we are, you know, and what a transformational experience this program is. The thing is, though, it's so very simple. This prescription, what took my cancer, if you will, and placed it in remission. Very simple, but it was so hard, though, in the sense that, you know, in the sense that we're called to work these steps, and, you know, we're faced with the uncertainty of whether or not it's going to even work, whether or not it's real. And then we come to the realization that once we see this process through, this practical program of action through, it does work. It does work. One day at a time. It's a miracle. Thank God for this program. Thank God for this program. With that, I'll pass. Thanks.
Thank you, Larry K. Renata G., go ahead, please.
Thank you, Amy. Good morning. Good morning, everyone. This is Renata G., recovered compulsive reader in New York. For you, escape disaster together, and you'll commence shoulder to shoulder your common journey. You know, and that made me think of what is the common journey, you know, is the journey of changing, you know, of transformation, of growing spiritually, of, you know, having, you know, a relationship with my Creator. And, you know, again, to be reminded that we're at the end of the, you know, not the end of the book, but like the end of the practical program of action, right, on page 153. And so I've gone through all 12 steps before, and now, you know, I try to carry this message, right, a message of hope and recovery to others. And so, you know, shoulder to shoulder, I walk with my sponsees, you know, strengthen my recovery and helping them recover, helping them get to that relationship with their higher power through the work of this 12 steps. And then, you know, it says, then you will know what it means to give of yourself that others may survive and rediscover life. You will learn the full meaning of love thy neighbor as thyself. And, you know, I know for me, this is only possible because God has transformed me, has transformed my heart. I could never do anything just to, you know, without any expectations in return, without wanting anything in return. And today, you know, I have an honest desire to do service. My, you know, what gives me the most satisfaction and fulfillment in life is to be able to help others get a relationship with their higher power. you know, there are times when I'm reading with my sponsees and they will say things that I can tell it is God working their lives, and I get chills. You know, I can see their transformation, and that helps me grow spiritually too. And with that, I pass. Thanks.
Thank you, Renata. Amy G. Sorry, that's me. Hi, my name is Amy G. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater from Maryland. Wow, what an awesome meeting. Thank you, everyone who has shared. For me, you know, this reference to the sinking ship, it reminds me of the chapter in the beginning. You know, we're at the end of the instructions, as Renata said, but if we go back to the beginning in the chapter, there is a solution. It talks again about this idea of a ship. It says here, you know, we are people who would normally not mix, but there exists among us a fellowship, a friendliness, and an understanding which is indescribably wonderful. We are like passengers of a great liner. After a moment of rescue from shipwreck, when camaraderie, joyousness, and democracy pervade the vessel from steerage to captain's table. Unlike the feelings of the ship's passengers, however, our joy in escape from disaster does not subside as we go about our individual ways. So again, you know, what is the common tie here? I mean, we're people that would not normally mix, but the common tie is what it talks about here, escaping disaster together, escaping the disaster of a cunning, baffling, and deadly disease, and the joy of that, and the joy of recovery, of being recovered, of working through the steps, and the fact that we have a solution that works, and that we can carry that solution to others, that give our lives meaning and purpose. I mean, I don't know about you all, but my life prior to program, my definition of a happy day or of happiness was to seek my ease and comfort. It was all about my relationship, my selfish relationship with three people, me, myself, and I. But then I come to the program, you know, it says here, is there a substitute? How is it supposed to come about? And it says, yeah, there's a substitute, and it's vastly, vastly more than that. How has it come about? Well, as I developed in the program, as I worked my program and grew in recovery and had developed friendship, I mean, I found out what true friendship was about. You know, I realized, I mean, there's people on the line right now that I have known for 5, 10, you know, almost 30 years, and it brings me to tears for what you all have shown me. I mean, you all, the friendships and the fellowships that have surrounded me, and talk about the common journey. It's the journey of life on life's terms in recovery, as recovered people. For those of you I know on the line, I mean, I can't even thank you enough. You've applauded me as I've grown in recovery and achievements like a new job, a first job. You've stood by my hospital bed when I've been sick and in pain. You've cried with me at gravesides. You've rejoiced with me at weddings, at birth. You've shouldered this common journey with me, and I get choked up thinking about the fellowship. You have taught me what true friendship is, and now the transformation that has occurred for me is that I want to be that kind of friend now. I want to serve now. Talk about a miracle of transformation. Do I do that perfectly? Absolutely not. But one day at a time, we shoulder this common journey together. I am not only a friend and have friends, you know, I share this journey, and we are not alone. I have a relationship with a higher power beyond my wildest dreams. This program is a miracle of transformation, and it all starts with taking that first step of surrender and beginning to work these steps. And with that, I pass.
Rakesha D.
Okay, oh, so we're going to get some more shares in here.
Rakesha
so,
D.
Paula
yes,
D.
Rakesha C, Paula D. Who else? Rakesha C, Paula D. Got time for a couple more.
Leah.
All right. Let's go with that. Rakesha C, please go ahead.
Thank you, Amy. My name is Rakesha Z. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater in California. And before I came to program, almost my whole life, you know, I had some friendships, but they weren't deep friendships. They were not. They were kind of casual friendships, even acquaintances, you know, people I got together with and did stuff with. But there was no like deep opening up or deep sharing. And I was really frustrated by this because I looked around and I could see the way people talked about their friendships. A lot of people had really deep friendships with others. And I was jealous. I was jealous. I didn't understand. How could you have such a deep friendship? It just doesn't make sense to me, you know. And so when I came to program, I finally realized what a deep friendship is. You know, the main component of my internal makeup is my food addict, as being a food addict, a compulsive overeater. That has driven me my whole life. That has haunted me my whole life. That has tormented me my whole life. That really has been the base of my internal makeup. And when I came into program, I could finally address that. I could open up. I could release the pain. I could tell somebody else what the pain of being a food addict is like and how much I yearned for recovery. And other people opened up and told me about their deep pain. And I formed friendships that I still have today, 17 years later, that are so deep that I can't compare them to any other kind of friendship that I have in my life. And it's so wonderful to be able just to be open and honest, and it's like, you know, releasing the gates or something. I don't have to keep it all hidden inside anymore. And there's people that understand me, and there's people I understand, and I continue to make new friendships in the program all the time. So that has been such a gift, a beautiful gift from the fellowship. And I just want to close by saying that each one of us on this line is one in a million. And why do I say that? Because I'm not boasting or anything. It's just the mathematics that, you know, there's over 300 people on the line, let's say, and there's over 300 million people in the United States, like 340 or something. And so each one of us represents one in a million people, and how lucky we are to be here. Just so, so lucky, and I am truly, truly blessed. Thank you, I pass.
Thank you, Rakesa. And if we keep it quick, we can fit in both Paula D. and Leah M. Go ahead, Paula. Star one to unmute, Paula.
I am unmuted now, and I will keep it quick, even though this is a lifetime we speak of, and we speak of the next generation here. My name is Paula D., and I am from New Hampshire. And I just want to, and I'm zeroing in on a couple of lines. Then you will know what it means to give of yourself. I didn't want to give. I wanted to be a taker, not a giver. You want to talk about a transformation. This is the disease, and this is disease in recovery. And it says here, and I want to go to 129, he may not see at once that he has barely scratched a limitless load which will pay dividends only if he minds it for the rest of his life and insists on giving away the entire product. It doesn't make sense, but yet it makes perfect sense. We receive as we give, and it says, love thy neighbor. The full meaning. Oh, I knew the meaning. I could tell you the meaning, but the full meaning, no. When I came to the place that I loved myself, then I could love others. By the way, it wasn't just in program. My life has expanded. And it isn't just the people in program that I am friends with. That's the miracle of it. You look at everyone in a different way. But I want to just go back to the Lasker Water, and I'll end it there because I know about time. Lord, do I not know about time. Historians may one day recognize, and this is on 571, Alcoholics Anonymous to have been a great venture in social pioneering, which forged a new instrument, not known before, for social action, a new therapy based on the kinship that's related of common suffering, one having a vast potential for the myriad other ills of mankind. There, shoulder to shoulder. Thank you for allowing me to share with that. I do pass.
Right on. Thank you, Paula. Leah M., wrap us up, please.
Thank you so much, Amy. Then you will know what it means to give of yourself that others may survive and rediscover life. This point you know, of rediscovering, you know, discover means, you know, to see, to make known. And that's so true. You know, as a result of the program of recovery, we have an opportunity to begin to see. You know, I had my own vision. I was no vision for you when I got here, that's for sure. But, you know, through the program of recovery and the transformation that occurs because of the process, I had an opportunity to discover life, to see life, and to become aligned with a vision that was much greater than my very limited negative vision. You know, sometimes when we tell our stories, you know, people will say, you know, it's hard to believe you acted that way. It's hard to believe you felt that way. It's hard to believe you thought that way. And that is an absolute tribute to this program of recovery, that I came from where I came from, that I used to live the way I used to live, that I felt and acted the way I used to feel and act. What a tribute to this program of recovery that we are recreated, that we have an opportunity to rediscover life. You know, notice that word, it says that others may survive. Recovery is a life and death matter. You know, perhaps I had other dreams for myself than to be on this line every morning. You know, I certainly did have other dreams for myself. But the bottom line is that I no longer want to live the way I used to live, because the way I used to live was absence of any quality of life. So yes, this is a matter of life and death for me. And this energy that exudes from my soul, which is 100% pure, genuine, and natural, is an opportunity to give a small part of what I've been given, you know, because the whole point of the program is to end up giving of ourselves, which means to serve as a vehicle for making the presence of God or a higher power manifest on earth, to materialize these spiritual principles that we talk about every day, these ideals and values in our everyday lives. And we have an opportunity to become a channel, you know, like the St. Francis prayer, to become a channel in everything we think, say, and do. And what a tribute to this program that is, that we have an opportunity to do that. And with that, I pass. Thanks.
Thank you, Leah. I'd like to close the meeting now and thank everyone who has shared. We will now close with the reading of the Big Book on page 164 in the Vision for You, followed by the Serenity Prayer. Devorah S., if you could please read a Vision for You on page 164. That starts with, "Our book is meant to be suggestive only." Devorah, press star 1, please.
This is Rachel NM. I can do that.
Sure, Rachel. Go for it. Thank you very much.
Hi, this is Devorah in New Jersey.
Oh, okay, Devorah. Great. Let's go ahead and read the vision for you, please. And thank you, Rachel, for being available. Go ahead, Devorah. Press star 1.
Here we go again. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously, you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of the past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you until then.